say. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by the good folks at Liberty Ford. And today, we're going to get into Todd McShay's Mock Draft 2.0. We are certainly going to talk to Ty Shalter, the NFL national lead writer for the Bleacher Report and a member of the Pro Football Writers of America, who wrote an interesting article on the Browns and what they need to do headed into the 2015 season. He'll join us at 2 o'clock. We've got a little fact or fiction to play with you here today. And we'll certainly, you know, we can talk draft. We can talk about the Browns in general. And just want to, you know, in light of all the news that's coming out, you know, this text gate is going to be resolved soon. The truth will come out about that. And the punishment, if there is any for the Browns, I expect to be very minor if anything ultimately ends up happening there. And I also just wanted to say, you know, I know that everybody's going to say, oh, well, they sign your checks and you're just a shill and you guys can say all that you want. But I can just tell you, from being in the building and talking to people, especially after yesterday's article from Jason Lockenfora came out that, you know, obviously ruffled a lot of feathers and rightfully so in there, that, you know, as far as the Browns brass is concerned, and I'm talking about Jimmy Haslam, Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer, Alex Shiner, they're all united. They're all on the same page doing the things they feel necessary to lead these Browns to success. Nobody's panicking. They're doing what every team does in the offseason. They evaluated the personnel right after the year. They had a leadership kind of a retreat, as many, many teams do in the National Football League. And next week, the scouts are coming in for their pre-combine meetings. The team has cooperated, as I said, with the league investigation. That'll be handled very quickly on the text gate. I think the Mike Florio article saying that, you know, Ray Farmer is a fall guy for Haslam in Texgate too. People are just trying to force Jimmy Haslam's meddling in way too much. It's just not the case. And that I feel very, very, very confidently saying. It's just not the case whatsoever. So, you know, people are going to, obviously right now it seems popular to bash the Browns and people are having a lot of fun doing it. But some of the things that are being said certainly are not true. And, you know, there are articles now being written about, you know, how Jason Lockenfora in the Browns article praised Kyle Shanahan as the greatest thing since sliced bread a year ago, wrote an article about him with the Redskins that made him seem like the worst thing that had ever happened to the Redskins, and the Redskins were happy to be rid of him. So a lot of he said, she said right now, and obviously for the Browns, it's all going to come to an end when they start winning. I think the whole key here is to focus on how this organization can become a winning organization as soon as possible.
You know, for me personally, having spent time in the Cleveland Browns facility for the past 4 months now, and walking around and getting to meet people and meet people of influence, you know, as you said, the brass in some cases, and then also to some of the, I hate to call them that, but the minions, the hard workers, the behind the scenes people that get, you know, don't get as much credit as some of the executives do, and seeing and feeling the positive atmosphere is there. Getting to see Coach Pettine walk by the dog bowl with a smile on his face, you know, you and Ray Farmer exchanging, you know, the peace sign every time he walks by with a smile on his face, or Mike Pettine walking with Ray Farmer, or Alex Shiner talking about, you know, walk around that open space, as he called it, and feel the energy. Yes, yesterday's article was a little bit deflating, but when you really dig into it, you know, and read into it, as you said, personally, you know that some of the facts that he so calls in the article are absolutely false, that you know to be 100% false. So whatever source he's getting those from, it's complete speculation. And what I hope that Browns fans understand is that the men that you forementioned, Haslam, Shiner, Farmer, Pettine, are all in cahoots to create the greatest product that they can put on the field for those 16 opportunities next fall.
And that's certainly what the goal is for the Cleveland Browns. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they are working toward. And obviously, it is a work in progress. I think it's easy to forget, you know, at times like this, that it is a team that won the most games it had since 2007, and that it is a team whose 53-man roster is significantly better than it has been in the recent past, certainly significantly better than it was just 1 year ago. So that is something we can continue to talk about. I know we're going to get a lot of calls here. 216-578-0850. As we're calling up yesterday, voicing your opinions, and feel free to continue to do so. Obviously, now on the NFL calendar before the draft, it's free agency, and you're going to turn your attention to those free agents. NFL.com just released its list of the top 25 free agents of 2015, which is certainly very interesting to see. And you can take a look at that. It's at NFL.com. The list: Ndamukong Suh, Justin Houston, Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, the top four. Jason Pierre-Paul, Julius Thomas, Mikey Upati, Randall Cobb, Devin McCourty, DeMarco Murray round out the top 10. And then you got Jerry Hughes, Jason Worlds, Jared Odrick, Pernell McPhee, Terrence Knighton, Jeremy Macklin, Brandon Graham, Torrey Smith, Greg Hardy, Byron Maxwell, CJ Spiller, Nick Fairley, Brandon Flowers, Brian Arakpo, and Jordan Cameron. Cameron, of course, being the only Brown that is on this list among the top 25. And you know, you look at it, five wide receivers, that's a position the Browns want to look at, five in the top 25. I don't think a guy like Dez Bryant makes it to free agency. I don't think Demaryius Thomas does. I don't know if Randall Cobb will either. And then you've got Torrey Smith and Jeremy Macklin rounding out that group. And we got to think, with everything going on now, that the Browns must, absolutely must, attack wide receiver either via free agency or the draft, or perhaps both.
They definitely do. And I think also, too, in my eyes personally, I believe Torrey Smith may be the only one that does not return to his team in Baltimore because he can seek more money elsewhere. And also, too, just a little bit of a drop-off in production. I think that Torrey Smith would love to be the number one option wherever he goes, being more than just a deep ball threat. But as I look through these top 20, you know, top 25 free agents, the one thing that I see is there are some pass rushers that I believe the Cleveland Browns could potentially add. As I talked about yesterday during the show, is, you know, Jabal Sheard will be a free agent. And I don't believe that, you know, albeit he played, you know, on one leg most of the year, that's going to hurt his number. That, I too think, is going to hurt him. The fact that we are now solidified in a 4-3 scheme, you know, having him having to stand up, he was not very productive, you know, out of that 2-point stance. He was just occupying one blocker. And as we saw, you know, that shifted to Paul Kruger. And that's why Paul Kruger from time to time, you know, went in stretches, because there was no other pass rush threat. So I think someone opposite Paul Kruger at the right value with experience, because I don't think we're going to get that out of Barkevious Mingo from a sack production standpoint. He's more the dropper, the threat, more of the inside pass rusher that's a little bit more lengthy, and so on and so forth. But I wouldn't mind seeing not only getting a wide receiver in free agency to add value to whatever the quarterback is we bring here to Cleveland, but get one of those veteran pass rushers.
Would you not bring back Jabal Sheard?
I would not personally, no. I wouldn't, because to me, he is a 4-3 defensive end. And I think in Mike Pettine's scheme, as we saw, you're asking guys to stand up and be able to move around and do things so much more athletic. Excuse me. I think Jabal Sheard carried a little bit too much weight for an outside 3-4 linebacker. He was the body style, and he played at University of Pitt.
And he was his most successful as a 4-3
DN. So I think the system change hurts Jabal Sheard. I think the fact that his injury this past season, you know, does not give him protection, because he'll be evaluated by scouting staffs for sure in regards to whether he's brought back or not. But when the common fan looks at Jabal Sheard and they see his production and the amount that he played for the Cleveland Browns, it's not good enough. You need an opposite, you know, 8-plus sack guy across from Paul Kruger, because that's the only way Paul Kruger goes from 11 to 15. Because if he's not, he's going to get turn protection, or he's going to get chipped, and he's going to constantly get all that attention and have to go against some of the top, you know, blockers in the National Football League.
So that's where the Browns go free agency. What do you think the biggest needs for this team are? That's one of our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day here today. So let us know, of course, like I said, what you think about that, what you think the right thing to do in free agency is. We'll talk Todd McShay's mock draft 2.0. Where do you want to see the Browns go in the draft? And again, we told you we've got Ty Shalter from the Bleacher Report coming up at 2 o'clock. A lot being made of what's going on, obviously, with the Browns and this text gate. Again, what I'm hearing and being told by league sources is that this is not going to end up being a significant punishment, if there is one at all, for the Browns. I think that it will show there were no attempts to violate any league rules or add any type of a competitive advantage for the Cleveland Browns. A lot of speculation coming out about that, from Mike Florio, et cetera, about who it is, et cetera, and who was responsible, what happened. I think it's all going to come out, and it's all going to play itself out soon. I'm not worried about the Browns losing a draft pick or anything like that. We got Alex in Worcester with us on the line. Alex, what's going on, bro?
I just wanted to talk about, I think that the Browns probably to most improve themselves, they need to go after like a quarterback that can throw it downfield, whether it be Bradford or Foles. And I think it'd be a good choice if you went out and got a guy that could just stretch the field with Jeremy Macklin and try to keep like Jordan Cameron, so you keep the middle open and everything. But I feel like if you get Jeremy Maclin, you'll open up so much space to go downfield, which the Browns have kind of just list this year and years prior. They just do all that short stuff. So it will open, like, big plays and opportunities that Jeremy Maclin has proven they can do in Philly and all over the place.
And I think you do need to get the receiver. Jeremy Maclin, not necessarily a total vertical receiver, but a guy who I think, and John DeFilippo saying that he's going to have some West Coast principles. He's familiar with some of those routes and those route combinations, certainly from his time with Chip Kelly. I know it's not a West Coast offense, but there are a lot of those slants, a lot of the bubble screens, a lot of the quick hitting passes. And Maclin is a guy who can also get down the field for you. I would love to see Jeremy Maclin here. I don't know if they're going to let him go. I don't know if they're going to allow him to leave Philadelphia, but he's certainly somebody I like. Torrey Smith as well is somebody I like because they can play on the outside. They, as you said, they can stretch the field. They can help you in that respect. And I was very impressed, I thought, specifically with Maclin and Torrey Smith, who went on as the double-digit touchdowns he ultimately ended up having for Baltimore, scored twice against the Browns in that game at the end of the year.
Question for you on Torrey Smith. Do you think Torrey Smith comes here on a free agent deal and he's immediately your number one?
Given who that the Browns have, there's no question he's immediately your number one. Yeah, he's definitely your number one receiver right out of the gate. He'd be your outside receiver. Torrey Smith and Jeremy Maclin last year. Maclin, 85 for 1,318 yards, 10 touchdowns. Torrey Smith had 49 catches, 767 yards, and 11 scores. Both of those guys would be your number one option right out of the gate. Yep. I think that given who you've got here,
yeah,
you know, you've got Andrew. Right now, your top three receivers, given that Miles Austin's a free agent, are Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, and Travis Benjamin. You need to add a couple people to that, and I think you have a good shot if you went out there in free agency to also get a guy, you know, let's say you get a Maclin. It's just tough because that's a big ticket item, and I don't believe that's how you win ultimately. It's not by spending a lot of money in free agency. Maclin was one of, there were 18 receivers in the NFL last year that averaged 2 yards per route run at Pro Football Focus. Maclin was one of them. He was number 15 in the NFL. That's a pretty elite stat, pretty good, and I felt that he was a very effective wide receiver, obviously, this season.
I do too, and I know you said it earlier, is I like Jeremy Maclin. I thought Jeremy Maclin, you know, in some cases played in DeSean Jackson's shadow there in Philly, and finally with Jackson leaving to go to Washington, Maclin got to showcase, you know, his ability to get down the field and run all the routes and was very productive. His most productive season as an NFL wide receiver. But I think more so than anything, I think Chip Kelly knows his value and he'll want to keep him in Philly because you're absolutely right in saying that, you know, Jeremy Maclin doesn't have, doesn't run the deep route as well as others do. He doesn't have the overwhelming size that some of those deep threats do, those game breakers in the sure. NFL, like, you know, like Dez, like Torrey Smith, like Calvin Johnson. And I don't know if a team's going to give him the kind of money that Philly would pay him to stay there and be and play in that play within his role in that Chip Kelly offense.
Well, that's what'll be interesting to see there. Last year, just as an FYI, on the deep balls, targeted 34 times was Maclin. That's fourth most in the NFL. Only 9 catches on those 34, so he didn't necessarily have a ton of success on the deep ball. 356 yards receiving on those deep balls, 5 touchdowns. So he was able to score when he was targeted deep and actually came up with the football. Jeremy Maclin is pretty darn good. He's a pretty good player. The Randall Cobb's one of my favorite players in the league. I just don't think he's a guy that you come into a high octane offense and make as your 1A or your slot guy, and he dominates like he did in Green Bay. I don't think if he comes to the Browns, he's your number one guy on the outside.
I agree completely, and I think that, you know, right now the Browns are getting a guy like Randall Cobb and Andrew Hawkins, you know, at a significant discount of what it would be to bring in a guy like Randall Cobb. Again, size, you know, and stature and what he's able to do in those one-on-one opportunities on the outside is few and far between in that Green Bay scheme. You know, he's playing inside. He's a mismatch guy. We saw in the playoffs he's lining up in the backfield, similar to the way we used Andrew Hawkins. So in some cases, we're getting a value at, what, $6 million over the course of a few years, you know, that you're going to pay, what, $60 million to?
Sure.
You know, over the next 5.
No question. And Randall Cobb, for those wondering, yes, Joker Phillips, the Browns' new wide receiver coach, was his wide receiver coach at the University of Kentucky. Also the wide receiver coach of Super Bowl hero Chris Matthews. They were the starting receivers at Kentucky at the same time. It was Matthews and Randall Cobb. So there is a connection there. I don't know if that's going to bear any fruit for the Browns because I just don't know that he's the kind of guy that they need given the personnel that the Browns currently have at wide receiver. Well, we're off and running here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls at 216-578-0850. Talking free agency, talking the draft, what do you think the biggest needs are? How would you like to attack them in light of the NFL saying, here are the 25 top free agents on the market right now? Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm for you from ESPN 850 Studios in downtown Cleveland. We'll be back with more CBD.
At 1 a.m., we go for gold.